Hello, and welcome to Focus on Business, the program to build sustainable businesses through sustainable business practices. I'm your host, Lee Strickland. On today's program, we are talking about how to validate your business concept. And my guest today is Leanne McClymont. WCOM listeners, you know her as the host of Courage Cocktail, which airs here every Wednesday from noon to one. You may also know her as the author of the incredible, empowering book, Friendly Fear Notebook. Today, Leanne is here as the founder and president of Radiocentrics, a company pioneering a new and improved way to use the power of the voice to market and grow brands and businesses. Leanne, thanks so much for being here today.
Oh, I'm so thrilled to join you today, Lee, on your new brand new show, Focus on Business.
Thanks. Now, I'm eager to get started on today's topic. Again, it's validating your product and your business concept. And our discussion, is just going to be powerful today. But I need to take a few minutes to kind of lay some foundation for the topic today. So I want to take our listeners back to the first three programs we've done on Focus on Business about getting out of the cubicle and into business. That's starting your own business and what will it take. And we have talked about the importance of writing down our thoughts, our ideas, our questions, the resources we need to start a business. And we've been in the gathering of information stage and resources, and we're talking about what's our vision look like and what do we need to do to make that vision become a reality. So today's show takes us to the next stage of the process. We need to determine if your business concept could be a sustainable, profitable business. And we're going to begin by asking the question, is my idea a good one or not? And while we would like to think our own opinions count, the only real opinions that matter are those of our potential customers, the marketplace. And you want to know if they will buy your product, your service, or your technology. And for the rest of the show, I'm just going to refer to that group as product. You want them to be able to buy it at a price that will keep you in business and growing. So that's the real question you have to answer. Will people buy the product you're selling at a price that will keep you in business, give you a return on your business, and keep you growing and serving more customers? So the topic is proof of concept. So just what is proof of concept? You've probably heard it in connection with a product, a service, or a technology, proving that. And that means you take what you want to take to the marketplace and prove that it will work, that it will do what you're saying it will do. And we most commonly around here, I'm going to say, talk about product functionality and technology development when we're thinking about proof of concept. In those contexts, we're talking about the functional performance and physical features, the benefits that product is capable of giving to the person or business that buys it from you. And today, though, we're expanding beyond just the product. We're talking about demonstrating that the product works and that the business model around it works. And the business model is your idea. It's the numbers. It's how you're going to make money. It's where you're going to get the inputs to make the product. And it's about your team. Is all of that going to come together to make it work? So proof of concept includes demonstrating the potential return to your business, the profits, and does that justify the amount of time and capital that you're going to have to put into the business to get things going and reach your customers and get customers that buy from you? And we want to do proof of concept as early as we can. And in fact, we can do it prior to investing all the capital needs and resources that it takes to go to full-blown operations. And we should do it before we have invested all of our time and all of our resources into full-blown operations. Today's technologies are out there to help us prototype, to do scenario analysis, to do simulations on our products, their functionality, and on our business functionality. So before you provide the first physical product, before you hand your technology to your first customer, or before you deliver a product the first time, before you take physical space and make commitments of resources, you need to know, is this going to work? So proof of concept today encompasses the product functionality, the market need or demand that's out there, and your profitability potential. proof of concept is the critical step in establishing a business, regardless of your product, technology, or service. You need to know, is your business viable? And we're going to talk about viability a little bit later. But proof of concept provides the perspective on viability of the product and of your business. Will the product that you want to take to market sustain a business on its own? So we will frequently have products or technologies that come into the marketplace and do well, but they can't generate sufficient funds, cash flow, and profits to keep the business up and running. And that becomes a challenge for us because that means we have to go out and find other products or services to provide in addition to the one we start with. So unfortunately, many businesses get up and running and they have their product that they want to deliver and they commit all their resources, all their time. They get there, they start things, and they establish operations. They take physical space, they put up the website, and then they look around for a customer to buy that product. And that means that proof of concept no longer becomes a go or no go decision or a will we or won't we. It becomes a make or break decision for the business. So the earlier we do proof of concept for our products and our businesses, the less risk we're taking with our financial resources and the pressure to make this business work. So one of my friends always says that desperation and intelligent decision making are on opposite axes. As you get more desperate to make something work, the less rational and reasonable are your decisions going to be. So think about early and often proving your concept. Go out to the marketplace and understand how people do business. Understand how you want to do business. How do you want to market? And how are you going to face competitive pressures and win? Are you going to be able to generate profit? And realize that it's not a one-time thing with your business model. As your business grows, you're going to be in an iterative process, coming back again and again to test the functionality and the scalability of the business. So as you grow, you have to come back and say, well, can I still generate enough profit to sustain and grow my business? And this requires that you have the ability to create a structure that is scalable. And we want to get into that a little bit later too. We need to know that our business processes are functional, that we're able to provide customer service, that we're able to deliver the product, that we're able to produce the product, and that we're able to find the customer for the business. And so that requires our ability to adapt to new information, to changes in the marketplace, and I'm going to say thousands of other variables that can impact the business, things from the economy, new competitors, new technologies, new products. There's always something happening in the marketplace. We never get to stay stable. Or if we do, we may find that everybody else is passing us by and taking our customers away from us. So I can't overemphasize this point. True proof of concept is about the product and the business. So make sure that you're understanding what you have to demonstrate to the marketplace. And what you're demonstrating is that you're solving a need or a problem. You need to quantify your market segment to understand what the potential is out there. Where is your customer? And do they recognize that they have a problem or a need that your product can solve? You need to know that you can produce the product, that you can get the inputs, the workers, the capital, all kinds of things that go into that. You need to be able to deliver the product on time, of a quality and quantity that the customer is asking for. And remember, you need to price that product with profit included. You're not in business to break even. You're in business to make a profit. So key to that is knowing how to position your product. And that's part of the conversation today too. Leanne and Radiocentrics have a great innovative way to get your message out and make your voice a brand and to brand your business. And so we were going to dig into that today. And we all have to realize that every business, no matter what you're providing, has competitors and substitutes. It may not be a direct competitor, meaning they're providing the exact same service or product or technology, but everyone has an alternative to what they use their money for. they can choose to do nothing, meaning they're not going to spend any money or they're going to continue down with traditional things. They don't have to change, and they don't have to buy from you. So when we're out there innovating and providing new products and services, we have to realize we're creating new markets and we're creating opportunities for competitors to enter the marketplace in the same segment we're out there promoting and creating. So we want to demonstrate that our products work mechanically and as a solution for our customers. And that part is the most important part. Leanne, I'm excited that we're here. And I know you've been working with several projects and organizations, and I'd love to hear about some of those to get us started.
Well, thank you, Lee. This was listening to you and learning and having that third eye at all times. You know, proof of concept, we often think of the word proof and the verb prove. But I have to tell you, as you were talking, proof is also a verb. And proofing yeast, proofing bread, that's where this is about. It's understanding what is the life force, not only what is the yeast, but are the circumstances, the conditions appropriate now to make your move. So when I think of proofing bread, when I think of proofing things, I have to say we have taken a good long time understanding the market conditions, understanding our own capacity. And let me ask for some examples. One of the most flavorful examples was working, the privilege of working with the North Carolina Symphony. We were doing an event called the Women of Note event last May 2013, and we had to establish a quick and easy way of building some buzz about the event. And we were reaching to women, and the reason was we wanted to identify women leaders in the Triangle community to get excited about classical music and specifically education, which is the number one goal of the North Carolina Symphony, one of them. So we created some voice tattoos. That's our product line. It's a short message from a particular voice, either somebody who's going to present at an event, somebody who's directly impacted by the event. And we ran these voice tattoos through our social media and through a direct email. The click rate went out of the charts.
So explain what click rate is for our listeners.
Click rate is the energy that an email may create. So you have a website, you have an email, so you have a variety of digital means of communicating, connecting to your customers. Those customers may or may not read your email. They may or may not click on your website to listen to this. So click rate is really a measurement of how interactive. I said something, how many people responded? What was significant about this is that people are overlooking the wonderful power of our human voices. This digital platform is a rich reef. It's a vast landscape. But Lee, let me tell you, it can be darn cold out there. We see a lot of pictures, we see a lot of words, and particularly in social media. What we do is stream live human voices to social media, so you get sound bites. And the whole functionality, as you described, is really we want to make decisions based on facts, not instincts. Instincts can create us, allow us to build well, but it doesn't prove that things are working. Numbers prove it. So you can go back to your client and say, you had a 300% click rate? Really? What was so different? And then we go ahead and measure through how many people listened to the messages in total, how many people, where were they from. It's just a very thoughtful approach to trying something on. And it worked. The event was very successful. It raised, I think, 2 times the amount of money that they'd hoped to raise. But most importantly, they were branded with new intelligent technology.
Well, with the symphony, the audience is, they're listeners.
They sure are.
They're music people.
And I'm a member of that group, so yeah.
So it makes a powerful connection. I mean, we're engaged in radio here, but I am in my car for business and commutes and things like that to clients, and the radio's on.
Well, it's not just that. What you're doing is the only way that you can access new information, the only real organ you're not using 100% of the time are your ears. you need to drive, your hands are on the steering wheel, you're wrapped into, you know, are we safe, where are we going, am I going to be there on time? The only other way, access point, to get new information in is through your ears. After all, Lee, I don't know about you, but I'm an iPod generation girl. And
I love my technology.
You know, you can carry that with you. You can listen to what it is you need to know, what it is you want at your command. And it was really harnessing and making the connection between wanting to learn while we're driving, wanting to figure out more things, and realizing we can't be always tethered to our laptop or even our mobile phones. Our mobile phone is a great teaching device. You can plug it in, you can hit the play button, and do whatever you're supposed to be doing. Our computers are less so. Our tablets, as handy as they are, we can't always be watching those YouTube videos. We can't always be reading this beautiful content on a website. It's appropriate. You know, there are places and times when we can do these things. But what we have witnessed again and again is how the appetites, especially for the millennials, are for radio.
Well, and the other thing is, the United States has been one of the countries that has the highest literacy rate for reading. So we've kind of been readers, and we've gotten our information that way. But around the world, not everyone reads. And so doesn't audio give you a window into their lives and ability to connect, say, somebody in Africa? You can put a message out there in their language. And if they're not literate, to be able to read or have access to reading materials, you can reach them in a way you wouldn't be able to any other medium, right?
Absolutely. The idea of audio learning is really catching on. I think one of our forefront beacons in this world is the audible.com business. What a great model. They take books, they record books, and then they sell the soundtracks, which is somebody reading the book to you. So you can carry that with you while you're driving, whatever the circumstance. So we have models out there that have identified and harnessed, okay, there's an appetite for learning. The other thing that you mentioned, which is extremely powerful, is literacy. I'm going to handle that on two fronts. We have global literacy issues, and then we have national literacy issues. I want to talk about the national literacy one first. People don't realize this, but 1 in 5 Americans are visually impaired in some way. And the expectation is that impairment is going to increase for the boomers getting older, so that it will become 1 in 4. Now, what does visual impairment mean? A variety of things. But I can tell you that picking out certain pieces of information and expected to read them, I think of the classic example, is instructions that go along with your prescription. How many of us get the little white bag, the little jar, and then there are 6 pages here, nicely folded over?
In mice type is what I call it. It's so small that I need a magnifying glass to read it.
You know, great intention, great content. Golly, 50 years ago, this is unheard of. But suit the fabric, cut the fabric to the cloth, right? Cut the coat to the cloth. Many of us aren't reading 6 pages of those things. We might read the directions. We might figure out, okay, what should I not be taking? So it's not that the content isn't important. It's that we're not being able to be fed this way.
Or we're overwhelmed by the amount of content we're getting from out there. And whether it's good content and relevant or not, we just don't have the time to filter through everything to know the quality.
And so one of the reasons that you asked in the early part of the show is, how do you know viability? How do you know your idea is going to work? You know, Lee, you know it's going to work. Ideas work when the problems are so overwhelming that anything one step forward will help one segment of an audience. We see so many applications, people who come in and say, can you help us do this? And they're across industries. So when you think about, does an idea work, I think the most essential piece of that, are you solving a problem? And is there room for other people to solve that problem too?
Well, and it's that, when we go to the marketplace to do proof of concept, we have to pick a segment. We can't go out and try to serve everyone at once, especially when we're starting out. And so we have to look at what's called market niches. So we might start out looking at that 1 in 5 that have visual impairment. Or we might want to pick, let's say, healthcare industry, if our background's in that, like yours is in there. So you could leverage your expertise and your background and combine it with this wonderful innovation of voice tattoos. And you also say audio avatars. I love the terms, people. And those are Leanne's terms for making a difference and understanding that these aren't just little podcasts. These are well-scripted, edited messages that snapshot, that capture an idea that someone can consume and comprehend in a minute and a half, 2 minutes. And they're so accessible in their content. And one of the ones I listened to from your Women of Note event at the North Carolina Symphony was when the student, you interviewed him.
Yes.
And the power of that voice tattoo, that segment of what he could say about how the symphony was impacting his life, that was just over the top amazing.
And that was what really, really, from a development world, that's really made the connection between our consumers, our believers, and their wallets. Because people connect with emotion. They connect with people speaking their truth. And listeners, the voice tattoo is a idea. It's a label that's given to, thank you, Lee, for saying well-scripted. We agonize over those scripts. But a way of shaping a message, usually it's a single message, and that's run for about a minute, 2 minutes on the top end, that helps people understand a very clear picture. From there, our RadioCentrics products include Audio Avatar. That's when we have a professional-grade expert come on board. For an example, a CPA. We have an international CPA whom we worked for in the beginning part of our history. And he had to communicate with international, predominantly Canadians, who were trying to cash out of their retirement from a firm that was in the end stages of bankruptcy, which was a Nortel firm. The last step in the road is taking people's pensions plans and breaking them up and then distributing them. And so we needed to create intelligent content, passionate content, clear content to these end users. And much to our surprise, that was posted through Facebook, through Twitter handles. Listen to what this guy has to say. Don't do a thing until you listen. Now that's the difference.
That's the validation of the proof of concept, of the product, of the method, and of the business, that there is a need out there and that it works.
It works. You know, that's the hard part about this stuff in the economy we're in the diversity of technology. Social media in and of itself is this giant, giant energy source, but much of that can be disruptive. And so you have to choose wisely, you have to exercise prudence, and you have to really consider what your content is. If you own your content, why not brand your voice to your own content?
Well, I know from my experience with the voice and what we've worked with for my company and the branding and stuff, is that it is so much more powerful when you finally, someone picks up the phone and calls you, they know your voice. I mean, and that connection is like, well, I was listening to, right? And so there's a comfort level there. I'm also a writer, as the listeners know. And I used to have that with people who would read my material. But this takes it one step beyond that. It takes it to them knowing what you're going to sound like.
And the intimacy, the power of us shaping our content for our voices, allows an access point to our customers. It begins to develop into this conversation, which is really what all businesses are interested in. It's not just building, reaching a million people all at one shot. What it is understanding, how do we invite you into a deeper dialogue? What it is I know and what it is you need, how can we make those two work? How can I solve your problem? And so this is why this is a very rich environment to work in. It's also a very, it is new. It's pioneering because it's a brand new twist on radio broadcasting, a brand new twist on social media. It's nothing new about the power of voice.
Well, that's a great stopping point for a break here. When we come back, we're going to start answering key questions about what you need to think about in understanding how to validate your business and your concept. And we'll be right back after this. WCOM would like to share with you some information about an upcoming event at the Ronald McDonald House of Durham. On October 22nd at 7:30 a.m. at the Cotton Room in Durham, there will be a fundraising breakfast. For more information, please visit www.ronaldhousedurham.org or call 919-286-9305. And we would also like to highlight a Make-A-Wish of Eastern North Carolina event. Make-A-Wish of Eastern North Carolina is hosting its Wine for Wishes event on October 3rd from 6:30 p.m. to 8:30 p.m. For more information, contact Make-A-Wish of Eastern North Carolina at 919-821-7111, extension 201. WCOM and Focus on Business would like to thank our underwriters, IWP Photography and Video. Captures the important moments of your life, specializing in events, weddings, and more, including live event paintings. For more information, visit IWP Photography's website at www.iwpphotography.com. We'd also like to thank Focus Resources. Get practical advice on how to start, fund, grow, and run your business. Focus Resources also specializes in government grants and contracts. For more information, visit them at www.focusresourcesinc.com. And we're back. You're listening to Focus on Business on WCOM FM 103.5. And our topic today is validating your business concept. I'm your host, Lee Strickland, and our guest is Leanne McClymont. And Leanne, before the break, we were talking about validating the business concept and innovating in the marketplace. And when we're doing that, when we're coming into the marketplace, businesses have to answer some tough questions about who they're pursuing, what they want to do, and who they're going to target first. So one of the key questions that has to be asked is, who is that client or that customer base that we want to target first? Is it individuals? Is it businesses? Are we looking for a few large corporate clients or lots of small businesses or individuals? How did RadioCentrics answer that question as you went to the marketplace?
That's such a hard question, but with such a purely simple answer. We were able to identify which clients we could work with, not based on their size, whether they were individuals or big, large companies, but on their relationship with technology. We work with learners. We work with people who are always trying to improve their relationships with their own employees, with their clients, with their own science, or in the case, law or accounting. We work very, very high-end people who are absolutely in love with what it is they're doing.
Do they have a passion for their product?
They have a passion for excellence in serving their clients, in serving their professions. And so those kinds of people percolate really quickly. It's not, what can you do for me as soon as possible for this mistake? It becomes, we need to transfer a piece of content in a meaningful way to help our clients solve their problems. So we try to serve clients who have a comfort and confidence in technology in a very nimble way. And I gave you a few examples in the first half of the show. I can give you a couple of other examples.
That would be great.
I want to talk about education. You know, particularly this we worked on a project, and that's an ongoing client. It's a school called St. Mary's School in Raleigh. And it's an all-girls school. It's 172 years old, gang. And that's a substantial length of history. And they support girls and women's education. They do a professional day once a year.
Mm-hmm.
One of the things that we learned is that by creating a quilt, a large collection of voice tattoos for all the guest speakers, and they had four panels, each one got a chance to introduce themselves through a voice tattoo, describe, you know, what it is they do, and ask the girls a question. Come ready. I want you to think about something. One physician, Dr. Tom Holland over at Duke, he said, girls, I want to talk to you. I look forward to meeting you. I want you to think about how your vacation can help you choose your career. So this beautiful conversation exists before that speaker takes the first step to a podium.
Well, you're engaging your client base. You're engaging your listeners, your audience, and getting them to participate in a conversation.
And that went electric, of course, because all these millennials use their cell phones. And so it's not real unless I heard it through my phone. But bigger than that, we had the, you know, there's these laws of unintended consequences. Mm-hmm. That's a big fat altar. You know, I'm learning it every single day. But one of the beautiful unintended consequences was that the guests, the talent that signed up, was recruited to show up for career day for this high school in Raleigh, we had, of the panel of, I think, 28 people, we had one cancellation because of a funeral. They had to, sadly, somebody in their family died.
Right.
But the rest all showed up.
And that's rare.
Oh, my gosh. They were expecting, you know, anywhere between 20% people sometimes. Gee, I'm too busy. I can't make it. Sorry. So what that told us was it wasn't just building the relationship between the students and their panelists. It was building the more intimate relationship between the talent and that school, saying, I'm branded here, I'm invested, you're doing a lot to help me get my message out there, I'm showing up.
Well, didn't talent to talent, each guest coming, the other panelists undoubtedly listened to what the other panelists were going to be talking about.
That, I mean, that is exquisitely true. Again, it's these connections when you overhear other people's conversations. How are you going to be speaking to these students about medicine versus how are you going to be addressing the student about law? And you'd be surprised. All these soundtracks were listened to. We call them voice tattoos. Were listened by the panelists about each other, and it helped them use their time wisely. And it created this delightful buzz, by the way.
Well, and it's establishing relationships, which is what business and products and service are all about. It's relationships, and it creates a community.
Well, I think, and the thing that, unlike print material and unlike these, YouTube maybe, but these are durable goods. People constantly go back to, gee, what is it that I said to that student population last year? Can I tweak it? Can I take that to another group of, you know, people talking about new drug performance? And it's the way that we use our voices. That was the lesson. It took a lot of time to coach people, the talent, to bring them into the conversation, to make it interesting. But at the end of the day, each person walked away with a piece of collateral that they carried with them. Well, this is what I sound like, you know, audio. This is how I get my message across. And one of the things that we were most gratified to hear is the three words, this was brainless.
Right, because you've made it approachable, accessible, and you provide the support for them to go through the process so they're not struggling to figure out how to do it.
Yes.
And isn't that part of your competitive advantage when you're out there putting the business out, your technology, your business knowledge, your process of how to coach the person developing the voice tattoos or your experts that are doing the audio avatars and building libraries of their knowledge base out there? Isn't that a significant part of how you compete in the marketplace?
I think that you anticipate exactly. It's not only identifying who we serve, who writes us checks. You know, at the end of the day, these are customers. But there's something going on here, too. Our product is not just that piece of collateral. Our product now is we're going to make you twinkle. We call it Twinkle School. Because that person needs to understand when we write for radio, write for an audio broadcast, it's very different than writing for your blog, writing a cute 140-character Twitter tweet, you know, which I'm getting better at, but I'm not gifted at by any stretch. These are all ways of shaping content. Many of them are not natural. And when we talk about voice, we talk about drilling your content into a minute, that's 60 seconds. Sure, we can go over, but people's attention spans on a voice tattoo, they really, really want to give you 45 to 60 seconds. You have to identify, how is it I'm going to talk about my product, my service? How do I engage you? What is it? How do I shape my content to the listener's ear?
Right.
And this is a gift. Not everyone can do this, Lee. And I'm not...
I can vouch for that.
I'm saying this with an extremely humbled to be able to say that some people can do this better than others. The thing that I ask your listeners to always pay attention to when you listen to this radio show, when you listen to all kinds of product online, you know when somebody is a polished professional because the listenability is perfect. It's easy to digest. You don't get a second chance in radio. You don't get a chance to reread that last paragraph. In fact, tweets, you can just thumb through your iPhone or whatever phone you have and you can say, what did they say? Radio is ephemeral in many ways. We do have podcasts and you can go back and listen to it. But audio discipline is, it's black and white photography. You've got to get the lines right. You don't get a second chance.
Well, and your voice needs to draw that picture. And once our voice becomes part of our product, we take an ownership in a different way than if we're just passing the content through and letting it just go into the space. We're creating something that's tangible, replayable, and we need to hone in on that message as precisely as we can for that 60 seconds to give the listener something to take away.
And it's interesting. I wrote a blog that got a lot of hits, and it was cloaking your content in sound. And it's not always words, Lee. You know, we tend to think of words as defining our ideas. I used to think that too. But I soon learned after becoming a host, a radio show host and producer, that the most powerful, most eloquent, articulately, passionately articulate people were those voices that used silence, that cloaked their words, their ideas with sounds, not just words. So it's that pregnant pause. It's that space that I've delivered the goods. It's their truth. And knowing how to use that with drama, but most importantly, with great effect of giving people space to ponder. These skills are not necessarily easily learned. And yes, we, Radiocentrics, can coach that. There are plenty of people that can coach that. So I think that that product aspect, I distinguish ourselves from among a host of other people by making sure that that whole three-dimensionality of your message is included.
Well, when customers come to you, and as a business, when they come to me in my business, they're coming for expertise, and they want to know that they're going to get a return on their investment. And so whether we're a new and small company or we're a huge company, we have limited resources. If we're entering a new market, we're introducing a new product, we need to know that we get a return on the investment of our time and our money, and that someone respects our message when we're working with them. And while many of us have a talent for talking, we don't always have a talent for scripting or for editing. And I've found working with you is that editing is what wraps that package in a nice wrapping and a bow. And the scripting helps that content of that package be so much more richer and valuable to get a return for the business. So when we think about that, is there anything that you would give our listeners thinking about starting their business to clue them in or bring their focus in a little bit tighter as to what they want to package for their brand or their business when they're thinking about doing their first voice tattoo?
Oh, that's such a great question. Lee, thank you. It's really simple. The most important thing that you can convey with your your voice is credibility. That's it. You're on the line. You're delivering a product or a service. You're delivering expertise. You're delivering a fresh way of getting your clients and potentially new clients to pay attention to you. It's the you that matters. It's the you that matters.
You is always part of your product as a business owner, whether you're delivering the product or not. But it's your voice in your business processes, in the name. Everything is about you.
So stand up and wear your truth.
And stand out from the noise that's out there. Because there is a lot of noise out there. And I want to use that word because that's an audio word.
Right.
But there is a lot of noise coming at your potential customer. And they need a quick way to know that you're different from your competition.
Well, it takes a little bit of courage to be able to say, I'm going to send right out an ad. I'm going to write out, you know, a blog, because you're really standing behind that, but you have a, might have a byline, right? Very different when you come out and say, I offer you this accounting expertise to help you understand the long-term consequences of cashing out of a 401k plan. You know, very concrete information. When you start acknowledging your own expertise, you're acknowledging your own power as an expert. Help your clients access that power. Make yourself accessible. Make it friendly. Make it easy to digest and understand. So many of these experts, and we know them all, they know their stuff, but sometimes the intimidation factor.
Well, the jargon, the terminology, all of that kind of stuff intimidates someone who isn't familiar with that.
They can't even, we have had a client say to me, it's the first time in my life when I picked up the phone and the client actually pronounced the words correctly. I'm like, what do you mean? Oh, they listened to my little voice tattoo and we were talking very specific, a clinical term. And they, historically, that never had been pronounced correctly. So I knew they listened to it. So this whole confidence between the expert who's trying to package their message in clear and simple terms, which establishes the listener's ability to learn before they reach to the expert.
Well, by them knowing the terminology, understanding more of the foundation, that means the service provider doesn't have to spend time educating, right? And so they get more throughput in their businesses because people come in with a foundation of knowledge, and that makes them more effective in their business and they can serve more customers.
Well, I think that is one of that law of unintended consequences. When you educate your clients, your customers, well, when they reach you, when they finally dial, I need your help, you've persuaded me this is a risk, but I need your help, they are going to be better equipped, better educated to ask you the questions in a way that you can answer them in 10 minutes instead of 30 minutes. Here's the background. This is what I know. This is what I do. And by the way, here's your answer. Now, I'm not trying to say that we don't need to sell as much hours as we can, but don't squander your client's money.
Right. It gives the client more of a value proposition. And we want to talk about that on a future show about what a unique selling proposition is and a differentiation in the marketplace. But before we wrap up today, I have one critical question. I've been driving our listeners to write down their ideas, to write down their vision for their businesses. And you did something early on in our working relationship. You shared with me your charter.
That's right.
And I would love for you to talk a little bit about that today.
And I'm grateful to you, and I'll make this I'll try to explain this to our listeners, to your listeners. The charter idea came out of Ted Ryan. He's a business faculty member over at Duke, and Allegra Jordan, also a business coach. And what was going on is that when we have this word, we have a phrase we always use over in the Radiocentrics labs, and it's simple. Recognize that our work at Radiocentrics is revolutionary. Revolutions take time. So in that time process, how do we stay in touch? How do we stay alive in the business marketplace? But bigger than that, how do we stay on focused on what our aim is? So we came up with a charter, and the most important part of that charter is the first sentence, which reads this: all of our work is done in a way that leads to flourishing and makes more of the team and the community. People, planet, and profit, in that order, drive our decision making. What I've used this for is I originally developed it to help us understand the clients we want to serve. What it has become for me is a tool to help me understand what vendors I now use. And then, like all good ideas, you know, people want to get in quick and they want to get in cheap. So people are rushing to Leanne. How do we get closer to the food chain? Would you consider taking us ownership? And that, you know, very flattering. It's certainly a validation point. What I've learned is that we need to make the right decisions at the right time for the right reasons. I think those are your expression, right?
Yes.
You taught me that. So that's our charter's been helpful. It's always going to be tweaked, but the principles that animate it, the ethical standards. We try to be as truthful to our new employees, to our contractors, to our clients. And there's a degree of transparency that we are confident enough in our product that we can say, this didn't work out the way you wanted to work it out. Let's build something new. We haven't had that problem yet. And I think this, the best medicine is just having that opportunity to work in safe space.
Right. Now, I want to kind of set up next week's show here too. So I thank you for being here with us this week, Leanne. And what we're going to be talking about and continuing the conversation into next week is, how does a business demonstrate four things in the marketplace? Viability, visibility, capability, and credibility. That's of the business and the product. So I want to tell you a little bit about what viability is. Viability means that there is a real market out there. It has real potential. It's not about size. It is about having qualified potential customers, prospects out there who can and will, that will is important, pay you at a price that includes true profits, that covers your costs, that covers the time it's taking you to market, to do business. And your business is not going to be viable if you don't have enough customers out there who are willing and able to buy. And you need to demonstrate this for the product or products, and that your business model is viable and scalable, that you can serve as many customers that come in that are good clients. One thing we have to learn early in our business is not every client that comes in the door or every prospect that comes in the door should be a client. If you're selling pens at the local Staples, okay, everybody that comes in can buy a pen. But if you're looking for the best customers to get the best return for your business, they have to match up to, like Leanne was talking about her charter. You have to know who it is you can serve best, or you're going to have unhappy customers. And that's part of viability. Now, Leanne's business, Radiocentrics, is about part of the visibility equation. It's your market presence. It's the innovative competitive positioning. It's knowledge and awareness of those prospects out there. It's your business. It's your leadership team. It's positioning your product. It's educating and informing your marketplace. It's about entering into competition, doing it well, winning enough times with the key decision makers who will decide if they're going to buy your product, and making sure that when you reach them, you're credible. And part of credibility is being able to demonstrate your expertise, your knowledge of the product, of how you're going to serve that customer, that relationship that you can build, and letting the customer know that you're capable of delivering on your promises. That means you're going to have the result that you've promised. You're going to be able to provide the resources, establish relationships, do the operations, get all the things that come into maintaining your viability as a business, being able to use your core competencies, whatever those are, in your design, the development of your processes, and how you execute both product delivery and production, and the business side. How do you handle customer service? Do you get their bills right? I mean, that's an incredible frustration for most clients, is if they get a bill that's incorrect. And that is part of your credibility, that you can do business well, and it's worth their time and effort. And it should be pretty effortless for them to do business with you. So when you're out there, given a choice in the marketplace, you want them to choose you. And we're going to dig into those topics and those questions next week. So join us again next week on Focus on Business at noon on Tuesday, on WCOM FM. Thanks for listening. And we're going to end the show with Don't Stop Believing from Journey.
Just a small town girl living in. She took the midnight train. yourself to trust.